Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here.
And Mike Cosentino.
Who's sitting across from me.
Yes, we are.
Here we are.
We were going to have, and we announced we're going to have Daryl Johnson on the show today. He was supposed to call in, and I don't know why he didn't, but we'll try to get him at a later date. Tell us a little bit about, this is kind of an old story, folks. It begins in April of 2009, right?
Right.
The Obama administration is just getting going. Janet Napolitano, for example, the former governor of Arizona, has just been in office for a couple of months. And there's a report leaked that talks about right-wing terrorism.
Daryl Johnson was the senior domestic terrorism analyst at the Department of Homeland Security, the Office of Intelligence and Analysis. So his job was non-Islamic terrorism. And he did a good job. And he wrote a report.
He was ahead of this whole thing, and they looked at animal rights violence. They looked at environmental.
The whole white supremacy thing.
Yeah, they looked at both left and right, and so his specialty was right-wing terrorism, white supremacist terrorism, militia groups. And what happened was that he wrote a report. It's very short. It's 9 pages. It's a straightforward, bureaucratic, academic prose.
Aimed at law enforcement agencies, by the way. It was written to cops about domestic terrorism.
Yeah, it was just a heads up about.
Yeah.
And his argument is that with the election of a African American president, that was going to set off racist groups, skinhead groups and stuff. And with the downturn in the economy, that's always caused instability in his analysis. So back in the Clinton administration, when they were still in a recession before Clinton ended it, we got out of it, and there was a lot of international conflict, there was a rise of militia movement. The militia movement faded in the late 1990s. And so what Daryl Johnson predicted was that right-wing extremism would rise again with the election of Barack Obama.
Right, exactly. There's an article in Salon called I Tried to Warn Them. So he writes the report. It goes to the law enforcement agencies. It gets leaked to what they call an ultra-conservative shock jock. A radio guy doing a radio show in Southern California named Roger Hedgecock. And he exposes it as his slant is that it is an attack on the patriot groups of the United States who just happen to disagree with the administration. It's obviously a distortion of the report.
It's picked up by the really wacky right wing, like WorldNet Daily, who's never seen a conspiracy theory, right-wing conspiracy theory that they didn't like. They spread it. It goes to Republican bloggers.
And it goes to Fox News
and
also,
Fox
by the way.
Fox News, of course.
Hedgecock's story was soon aired by Fox News and touted by conservative, you know, media figures like Lou Dobbs, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Michelle Malik. All of these people collectively, they characterized the DES report as politically motivated. In other words, this wasn't a factual report written about an uptick in domestic terrorism.
And they claimed that this was an attack on the newly forming Tea Party movement. Daryl Johnson said in his article he didn't even know about the Tea Party movement when he's writing this.
He never heard of the Tea Party.
He's a civil servant. He spent 90% of his career during the Bush administration. He's not a political guy. The Department of Homeland Security has 200,000 employees. The administration is just getting going. They really haven't got their feet on the ground. And the Republicans find they have a juicy issue to trash them with. And the issue is that they're insulting soldiers, because one of the things he says is that extremist groups are trying to recruit people with military skills returning from the military. If you remember Timothy McVeigh, I was born in Oklahoma City. He killed over 160 some odd people there in 1995, and he used his military training to help do it. And a lot of the recruiting was going on among ex-military. Well, this was decided that, according to the right, this was an insult to the whole American military, and they were being accused of being terrorists.
Exactly.
We just saw a group arrested, and I think it was near in Georgia, near Fort Stewart, anarchist group who killed two people who they thought might be informers. It was kind of what would you call it, Mike? A kind of an infiltration of the American military, you know, by these guys are called anarchists. I don't know what kind
fear.
Of
fear. The name of their organization
are.
Is Fear.
Yeah.
Forever Enduring something. And their plan was to take over Fort Stewart.
Yeah.
And
very realistic. Nothing
right.
like taking over Fort with everybody's armed.
And
when
one
you
of
got
the
five guys.
They were going to poison all the apples in Washington State.
Yeah. And they were going to kill President
and
Obama.
Oh, by the way, they were going to assassinate the president.
Yeah. Right. So the idea that there are groups is not that far-fetched. But what happens is he issues this report, and I've read it. It's 9 pages long. You can find it in a PDF file on the internet. It's, you know, it's in very standard language. It doesn't say anything really bad about anything. He's not talking about ordinary right-wing folks. He's not even talking about the Tea Party. He's not mentioned in the article whatsoever.
He's not talking about demonstrations in front of the post office.
Right. He's talking about wildly extremist ideas that in some case leads to violence.
Let me
and
read the list.
He's talking about groups. And Mike, you've got something there, right?
Yeah, the list. We got, since the DHS warning, since his warning, since he wrote it, the resurgence of right-wing extremism. And we say resurgence because really after Oklahoma City, they went kind of south a little. The economy was better. The horror, they were terrified by Timothy McVeigh's action. And recruitment was way, way down. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, well, we have to mention, which is plays a key role in this. And I was a member for, I have to send them my dues. I haven't sent dues for quite a while. But
we rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center right. for the kind of information. In other words, Daryl Johnson is doing the kind of analysis that the Southern Poverty
right.
Law Center does, but he's sending it out to police, and he's sending out it's intergovernmental. But we rely on public sourcing, and these people track extremist groups. For example, they list 17 extremist groups active now in Arizona.
In Arizona, yeah, when it was down to 5 or 6. But since Daryl Johnson's warning about uptick in right-wing extremism, 27 law enforcement officers have been shot, 16 of them killed by right-wing extremists. Over a dozen mosques have been burned with firebombs. And they attribute, although all the evidence is then, to, you know, Islamophobic beliefs of some right-wing extremists. The abortion, May 2009, an abortion doctor was murdered while attending church. Two other assassination plots against abortion providers were thwarted during 2011. And a half dozen women's health clinics were attacked with explosive and incendiary devices over the past 2 years. And then that leads into the...
And then there's been a shootout in Louisiana between sovereign citizens, extremist group, and police. I believe they killed one police officer, wounded another. Then there's this
Sikh temple shootings.
Then
is
there's
was
the Sikh
go.
Temple yeah. attack. And when 9/11 happened, I was down just a few blocks north of Ground Zero. I was standing in the street when the building came down, and everything shut down. I walked all the way home, about 9 miles, and I looked at the way some of the people were looking at some right. Hindu women who were dressed in the saris and so forth and so on. And they were looking at them really hostily, taking like, are these our enemies right here? And so a lot of people cannot tell, you know, Indian Hindus or Sikhs from Muslims. And so clearly the attack in where he attacked a Sikh temple, he's a right-wing, what is that, white, what do they call it, white supremacist rock guy for a long time. He killed all these people, probably thinking they're Muslims, surely thinking they're Muslims. Yeah. Why would anyone attack the Sikhs, who have a iffy history with Muslims to start with?
I remember getting information from the Southern Poverty Law Center when Obama was elected, and there was almost overnight 100 new groups nationwide, and including several in Arizona. But if Daryl Johnson was here, we would ask him why. You know,
well, let's talk a little bit of what happened. He puts out this report. It's leaked by the far right. The Republicans really run a game on it.
The Obama administration
is just getting his feet on the ground, and the and there's a huge torrent. They threaten a congressional investigation. If you look at the report, folks, it's just magically over-exaggerated every which way.
Oh, they called it an attack on veterans because so many, you know, because he talked about ex-military being in these groups.
Yeah. So if you look at the report, there's nothing there to object to, but that didn't seem to matter, did it, Mike? They ran this game. They wanted to hurt the Obama administration before they even got their feet on the ground. The report is written by a guy who worked not for the administration or anybody else, but who's just a professional intelligence analyst. And what happened? How did the Democrats respond?
This was enormous media and congressional criticism. DHS made the decision to cancel all domestic terrorism-related reporting and training. Let me say that again. They canceled all domestic terrorism-related reporting and training for law enforcement. It also instituted a new grueling vetting process, which essentially stopped all work at the DHS, at the Department of Homeland Security, on the now politically charged topic of domestic terrorism.
So they shut down this whole department. They took his department and they scattered the people to different places. The administration or the Department of Homeland Security denied the report. Condemned the report essentially, and they smashed the organization that was monitoring domestic terrorist groups as opposed to Islamic domestic terrorist groups. They abolished it, and then we've seen a huge surge of right wing domestic terrorism, and so basically Daryl Johnson has been proved correct. But why did the administration do what they did? Somebody made a decision not to try to explain what the report actually said. Somebody made a decision not to stand up for the possibility, very reasonable possibility, that the election of President Obama would start a surge of right-wing activity.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Why don't they answer the... Obviously, everything that the Roger Hitchcock was saying, everything Fox News was saying, were complete distortions of this report.
Why didn't they argue back?
Yeah, why don't they argue back? What's up with that?
And I think this is something that worries us ordinary Democrats about officials, is this unwillingness. And what really happens is the charge, the hysterical charge, they really got rolled. You know, they just really got rolled. The hysterical charges are much easier to make than a calm, deliberative explanation of what happened. So Mike says, you know, you're insulting soldiers, you're blah, blah, blah. And you go, well, if you look at the report, you'll find that that's not what we're doing. It's not an administration report. It's something coming out of basically someone who spent most of his time and under the Bush administration.
2004 to 2010, by the way, he was in that domestic terrorism
office. Democrats are often afraid to give a long explanation to a short false charge. And a great example is Paul Ryan and Romney's charge that Obama took $770 million or $1 billion out of Medicare.
Yeah.
The explanation is that he negotiated with the hospitals, with the increase in Affordable Care Act, there'll be more people going to hospitals with more people. It won't be dumped on the costs on the emergency room. The hospitals negotiated lower payments with increased number of people. And there's a problem with the Medicare Advantage plans being supported at a much, much higher rate than ordinary Medicare. Medicare is about 8% more efficient than any of the private insurance plans. When the thing was set up, it was set up in such a way that that the Medicare Advantage plans got all this support. So the only thing over a long period of time was to cut that. It's sort of like the drug benefits to Medicare, right?
Well, you are proving your point here that the explanation, it took a lot longer to say than that you reduce the amount in Medicare, which is true.
But and what bothers us about Democrats is we'll take the time to explain. You can go on our website. You can write us. We'll talk about any of these issues. We're not afraid to discuss any of this stuff. But this game where you fold when somebody else has a gotcha moment and you don't try to explain is particularly bad. So
and you can spin anything. So here you have this guy doing good work. He's writing to law enforcement agencies, warning them that according to his research, there's going to be an increase in domestic terrorism.
And it happened.
You know, the name of the article, by the way, in Salon, at least one of them, is I tried to warn them, you know, about what was going to happen. And then the list I just read, plus the Sikh killings and others.
Two new things just in the last couple of weeks. See, if you go back to the drug benefit plan, here's the problem. Here's what the president is trying to get rid of. There's a rule that, you know, when the Veterans Administration negotiates drug prices, they can negotiate drug prices. When they increase the benefit for drugs in the Medicare bill, the drug industry got a provision in there where Medicare cannot negotiate for the prices of drugs. It cannot import cheaper versions of exactly the same drug from Canada. And so when the president is trying to reform Medicare, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to undo some of this industry distortion of programs that are vitally important to a whole lot of American people. And so if you're a Republican, what you want to do is throw as much sand in the thing as you can and make, well, you're going to cut Medicare. I'm going to cut Medicare. It turns out Paul Ryan, for example, has those same cuts figured in his budget cutting Medicare. So what you try to do is you set up an equivalency from what the Obama administration has tried to do. And I'm not a super fan of the Affordable Health Care Act. I mean, I think there's a lot of flaws. I think Mike and I would prefer something
single payer,
cheaper, like
now,
single payer.
Medicare for all.
That's what's going on. It's just a pattern of distortion. And it's hard to argue your way out of it, right, Mike?
Yes, exactly. Those kinds of supposedly point of view things, but you know, there's that fine line which we're all.
So
in fact, this is a nice segment.
You know, we've been talking about, Mike, we've been talking about the voucher system for Medicare that Paul Ryan proposed for over a year now. It's a terrible idea. They're trying to bribe seniors now on Medicare to let people under 55 get this cheapy voucher system.
Well, that's what I'm trying
And the Republicans are trying to set up an equivalence between their plan. And I think the more honest ones will tell you that they want to cut Medicare. They want to cut Social Security because they don't see any other way to keep them solvent, right?
Well, that's it. And there's the difference between a point of view and a complete distortion. You know what I mean? I give the other side their point of view, but I don't give them distortions. And going back to our reason we started this particular segment was doesn't the party respond, doesn't the Democrats and somebody respond to these outlandish distortions?
Part of it probably is that the head of the Department of Homeland Security doesn't know Daryl Johnson, doesn't know the department yet, doesn't know who they are. All they see is there's this firestorm of stuff. And instead of standing up for what was an important point about rising right-wing terrorism, that's completely been confirmed, they fold. They collapse the whole department.
Exactly.
This is what frustrates us. And you'll see this over again. It's not just Democrats. When they get caught on a point, if they have a good argument, they just roll with it. Somewhere, somebody's decided that if it's a complicated issue, yeah. you cannot get it out there against a simple charge. So I say, Mike, you're a no good son of a gun, and Mike has to give a long list of his charitable yeah. works.
When did you,
you
stop
know,
beating
then,
when,
then it's hard.
When did you stop beating your wife? It's yeah. an old gambit. Daryl Johnson, by the way, if he was here, we would ask him if he got fired. I don't know whether he got fired
or he simply left. They just took away his department.
And he now has a consultant.
Put him on a little desk.
He now has a consultant. No, I don't, this is kind of a Republican.
But this is sort of like, what was the woman's name? Shirley Sherrod.
Sure, yeah,
okay.
Right.
So
yeah.
A right-wing blogger puts this thing on the internet that seems to make her out as this black racist.
Took a comment out of context.
Yeah, took it out of context. If somebody else had not recorded the speech that she gave,
right.
and we couldn't see the context, we wouldn't know that this very much sainted right-wing blogger had completely manipulated what she said. She had totally distorted. Her whole point is her father was murdered by white supremacists in the South. And the whole story was how she overcame the feelings of anger and spent a lot of time helping white farmers. And then, right. of course, a whole bunch of white farmers, came up and defended her. But they tossed her to the dog. They called her and they fired her while she was riding in her car. They didn't find out because they didn't want to do the research
right.
and make a complicated argument.
They couldn't defend the employee long enough to find the truth yeah. or at least to find the context. Once again, if Daryl Johnson was here, we would ask him about his consulting firm, DT Analytics. DT standing for domestic terrorism, I imagine, since he's an expert and runs a private firm. So those are the two things I'd like to know. If he ever comes on, we have a show. But the segue into lying, and especially Paul Ryan, I told you, I tweeted. I'm at hopeful still is my tweet address. Through only three L's in that, but we'll one L and then two L's. But the, I said, Lion Paul Ryan has kind of a ring to it, doesn't it? And I like to believe that, of course, since my tweet, this is right after they selected Ryan as, VP candidate, there's been an explosion of that phrase. I should have trademarked it. But one of the things we're going to talk about in the rest of the show are Paul Ryan's lies at the convention. Can we do that?
Yeah, and I think one of the most recent lies is his marathon time. You know, anybody who ever runs a marathon, you know exactly when you got there. There's, you didn't get there 2 hours before you say you got there. It just doesn't happen. It's not a mistake. It's Paul Ryan invents a story about him, invents a world where he's doing all these things. So, when you call him on the fact that he supported bills that if a woman is raped, she can't have abortion. She can't do any kind of prevent a pregnancy, even if it's a non-abortion way of doing it.
Right.
And so we have him. The whole Republican convention is how compassionate they are, but the whole point of the Ryan and Romney economic plans is to cut. We've talked, folks, over and over again about the cuts to Medicare, but the really big, big cuts are to Medicaid, to Pell Grants for kids to go to college, and so forth and so on. Paul Ryan is basically an Ayn Rand, devil take the hindmost, those that fail deserve to die kind of ideology that underlines his economic ideas.
One of the things that I find fascinating, besides the lies, are the euphemisms for lying. And you're going to have to bear with me. I have a list. And this, I was listening to Diane.
How long is the list?
15.
Okay.
15 euphemisms. It's quite a list. It's amazing what knots journalists will tie themselves into to avoid the use of a little three-letter word. If a lie is a lie. Now, there are times when, there's half-truths and it's not a pure lie and you don't want to use the term.
Slants on politics. We expect politicians to slant things in their favor, and we expect some sort of half-truth, and we expect some exaggeration. But
and why do we do that, by the way? Why don't we demand absolute truth? But here's GOP vice presidential nominee took some factual shortcuts during the Republican convention. That's number one. Here's
factual shortcuts.
Factual shortcuts. Striking and demonstrably misleading elements.
Yeah.
That's in other words, that's a euphemism for big lie. How about just misleads, misleading speech, misleading indictment, factually shaky. I like that one. Pretty heavy inaccuracies. Pretty heavy inaccuracies. Filled with prevarications. And all that came out of Brian Borders' talking points. Paul Ryan is the newest Nixon. Charles Pierce, an Esquire. Doublespeak, of course, came out of the Atlantic as a euphemism for lying. Brazenly willing to twist the truth. Yeah, and one of the things we learned in journalism school was, you know, to use the few words as possible to get to the point.
What I see, Mike, is a willingness to lie over and over again, even when you get caught. So he talks constantly about an auto plant that Obama came during the campaign and said he hoped would get going, and the plant went ahead and folded before Obama even takes office. And so Paul Ryan has repeated the lie about Obama not saving the auto plant over and over and over again, even though it didn't occur on his watch.
Yeah, and those are the kinds of things that you think would be simply answered. Simply, you know, boom, he tells this distortion, this lie. We can call him a liar here, can't we? Can we call him a liar?
Well, you know, I saw an interview with him, and he said, well, you know, even if what I said was maybe, you know, a little iffy, it still counts because he promised to turn around the economy. And it is true that the president and all his economic advisors underestimated the depth of this recession. This has been the nastiest, most brutal recession any of us have ever seen. It has not been easy to get out of. And when you look at the statistics, the private sector employment has gone up almost every month since he got a hold of it. The results are still anemic. There was 166,000 jobs created this last month, but you need 119,000 jobs a month just to keep up with the increase in population.
Before we run out of time, I want to talk about, you know, we do have a Facebook presence, Democratic Perspective does. We've got some work to do on these things. Of course, this and on all our shows are on bvid.org. They're kind of fun to go listen to, and look back over the last year or so. We do have, I am on Twitter, as I pointed out. We are going to have, we're not going to have an uptick. We're going to have a blatant uptick in interest in Democratic Perspectives. So we are going to have some name that provide that caption contest. I looked at one of, I got Keith, and we're stealing this from someone. I saw Keith Olbermann's site. Obama was leaning over and whispering in Jay Leno's ear, and you had to name the caption. And of course, I won't tell you what I put, but the caption I posted, I have to admit, Keith Olbermann took down somewhere in the ensuing hours. So yes, look for some, new information. Check out our website. You can go through our Facebook page. You go through my Facebook page and get to under my name, Mike Cosentino.
Yeah. Next week, Thomas Paley. Thomas Paley is a distinguished economist. We're going to be talking about the economy with him. And then on September 24th, we're going to have Donald Bartlett, James Steele, and they have written a book, it's not quite a bestseller, but it's close, Betrayal of the American Dream, about the exportation of jobs.
And I'd like to spend a lot of shows between now and the election, or a lot of time anyway, talking about the American dream, because it touches everything.
Right. What's going to happen next is that we're going to begin to bring in candidates for you guys to listen
true,
to.
Yes.
You'll be able to hear a candidate for an extended period of time, decide whether you want to support them or not. We have a bunch of great...
Early voting starts October 11th.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.